Well, it's good to have everybody here this morning. We continue our journey through the book of Acts, and if you want to have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 6, we'll read verses 18 through 15 here in a little while. And as I was doing some reflection on the passage and the sermon for this morning, one of the things that I was struck by, also in conjunction with some reading I've been doing about the history of our denomination and some other things, struck by how God uses ordinary people mightily. And here we see in this passage of Stephen, somebody who the Lord had gotten hold of, who was full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord used him mightily. And he was one who, as Paul says in Romans 5:1, somebody who believed in Christ and therefore was right with God. By God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so as Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read about Stephen's life and those in our denomination early on, ordinary people, many of them, and so many unknown people in the history of the church and in situations where people who are justified by faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then as an outpouring, as a result of that faith, end up leading lives in which they walk by faith, and by the power of the Spirit, they end up doing great things for God. Great things that often don't get recorded in the history books or even in church history books. But so many things that the Lord does in so many places over so much time through people who believe deeply and care, and so they step out in their faith, and they see that the Spirit is there to provide help and empowerment for them as they do what God's put before them. And they're not out there for their glory, they're out there for the glory of the Lord. And you see this in the life of Stephen. Now, we know about him because he's recorded, so there's many that we don't know about. But Stephen, we see, is one who, what he does and what we have recorded for him in his life of faith was because he was one who had been gripped by Jesus, who had the power of the Holy Spirit and was being obedient to the Lord, stepping out in faith, even in risky situations, with the gifts God had given him and the situation God had placed him in. And he didn't back down, but he stayed faithful to the Lord. And so we see then the Lord using Stephen mightily. Even though Stephen was martyred, this ended up spurring a spread of the church as the church spread out from Jerusalem and carried the gospel to further parts of the world, that the Lord worked through this martyrdom of Stephen, this evil that was done to him. The Lord used that to spread the gospel. And so we're going to read about before Stephen gives his speech and then is martyred. We're going to read about that next week, but we're going to read the precursor to it here in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 5. So I'm going to go ahead and read now, and if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's Word here now in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. You may be seated. So next week, when we look at Stephen's speech that he gives in Acts chapter 7, we're going to consider a bit more what Stephen was teaching about God and Moses, about the temple and the law. So we'll talk more about that next time. But suffice it to say that Stephen was speaking about how the Old Testament and the temple and the law all pointed to Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment of these these things in the Old Testament, the law and the temple, Christ came and brought fulfillment to what Moses' ministry was, what the temple was put in place for. It all pointed to Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment. We'll talk about that some more next week. But what I want to do this morning in looking at this passage here before us in verses 8 through 15 is, before we look at that those verses in some more particularity, if you look back up in verse 5, which we read last week, it describes Stephen there in verse 5 as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. You see that there in verse 5, that Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now we know, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, we know that the Lord gives His Spirit to those who believe. We read here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And so by hearing with faith, the Lord then supplies the Spirit for the working of miracles, works of the law, the empowerment for these kinds of ministries. And so here we read that Stephen was a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. So he was a man who believed deeply in Jesus, believed deeply in the things of Scripture. And as a result of his deep faith in the things of Scripture, the Lord was pleased to give him the power of the Holy Spirit in his ministry, in his life, as he stepped out in faith. And I've mentioned this a number of times, and I keep coming back to it in my thinking, is when the priests were on the edge of the Jordan and they had the Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord told them the Jordan was at flood stage, Joshua chapter 3. It was at flood stage, raging river, and the Lord had told them, when you step out into the river, I'll part it and make land for you to walk across in the Jordan. So there they are with the Ark of the Covenant, and it's at flood stage. If they step out and the Lord doesn't come through on His promise, there they are being swept away in the Jordan, possibly drowned. But the Levites, the priests, believed what the Lord had said, and were told when they step out and their souls hit the water, sure enough, just as He said, the Lord parted the water, piled the water up, and then they walked across on dry ground. That the Lord supplied this power to those who were deeply trusting in Him, those who had faith in Him, and such faith that it resulted in them stepping out in their faith, even in risky situations, even in uncomfortable situations, even situations that would go against what might be a natural fear, but convinced of what the Lord had told them to, they fully risked on what He said because they were confident in what the Lord had told them. And so point one in our notes here is that empowerment is ours by the Spirit. We see this in the life of Stephen, a man who was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Then we read in verse 8 that he was full of grace and power. So here we have grace and power. And then down in verse 10, it says that they couldn't withstand the wisdom and the Spirit with which Stephen was speaking. So Stephen here is a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, full of grace and power, wisdom in the Spirit. He was doing wonders and signs among the people. He was in wisdom speaking to them the Scriptures and how they are fulfilled in Christ. This is all a result of the Spirit at work in the life of Stephen, a man of regenerate faith in Christ. And as he was walking by his faith, the Lord was providing him help in the Spirit. Now, Stephen, we see here, had gifts, the spiritual gifts. Two of them that are mentioned are to do wonders and signs. Miracles is one of the gifts that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. Wisdom is another one that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, that passage 12 through 14 that speaks about spiritual gifts. There are many other spiritual gifts as well, but in this passage we see that Stephen, who was full of grace and power, was full of the Spirit, had been gifted in these ways, was stepping out in faith and using his gifts in the sphere and place that the Lord had put him. You know, he'd step forward to serve as a deacon, as helping to minister to the table in the distribution of the service to the widows, the food to the widows, to serve at the tables there in chapter 6 that we looked at last week. So he's using the gifts the Lord's given him there, and now there he is speaking to people, doing miracles. Stephen is somebody who was exercising faith in the Lord. He cared and he believed deeply, and he was willing to step out into what the Lord had put before him. Now, he stepped out in a risky situation. As we know, as we read, Stephen was opposed. Stephen knew that he was going to be opposed in what he was saying. The church had already been opposed in what they had been proclaiming, the truth about Jesus. And yet that didn't stop Stephen from faithful ministry, from stepping out. And the Lord provided him the wisdom and the words to say in his time of need. We see here in Stephen this man full of faith, that faith leads to action. Faith leads to action. Stephen's action was a fruit and a result of his faith. That genuine trust and confidence in the Lord's word leads us to step out and serve and live by that faith. And we find that empowerment is ours by the Holy Spirit when we do so. That help is there for us. So the very Spirit who has given these gifts and who has inspired His Word and called us to these things, when we live obediently to the Spirit by faith, when we trust the Lord puts the power of His Spirit on those who hear by faith. And so then, therefore, out of that faith, walk out in obedience, and they experience the power of the Spirit coming through because He is giving the Spirit to those who hear with faith. Now, that may not look like always what we expect. In Stephen's case, he was martyred. You might think that stepping out and having the help of the Spirit means that you're not going to face sufferings or difficulties or trials. Not so. You very well may face those. Now, we know that the situation of Daniel, you think of Daniel. Somebody who also faced opposition for stepping out in obedience because of his faith in the Lord. That Daniel, you know, he was thrown to the lion's den because he refused to stop praying to the living God. You know, there was a conspiracy of those in the kingdom where he lived at the time to try to attack Daniel because they were jealous of Daniel because they got the king to pass an edict that said if anybody prays to anybody but me, then they're going to be thrown to the lion's den. Daniel was faithful to the one true living God, and he continued to go. Right after the edict, he goes up to his room, and like was his practice, he prayed to the Lord. And so then his conspirators come up and they say, look, you've got to now follow through on your command to put him to death. That Daniel was one who believed in the living God. And he was then thrown into the lion's den. Now the Lord rescued Daniel out of the lion's den. He can do that. Daniel knew he could do that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't going to compromise on the Lord either. And they said, whether he saves us or not, we're going to do what's right. We will not bow down to this idol. And they were rescued as well. But here we see an example here in Acts chapter 6. The very same God, and this is one of the wonderful, the very same God that was with Daniel, that rescued him, that rescued Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the very same God, the Creator of the world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this God who was there with them then was also present with Stephen, and yet he didn't save Stephen from death. But this didn't keep Stephen from being faithful. The power of the Spirit was still upon Stephen and working through him. And that may mean for us that we face difficulties and trials, even ones that we wouldn't have were we to have backed down. You know, if Stephen would have just kept quiet and moved away from stepping out in faith, his life in a temporary sense may have gone easier. But it wouldn't have been with the result that he ended up having. It wouldn't have been with the glory that he gave to God and the joy that he had in being used by God. His life would have been impoverished had he not stepped out in faith. So even though our faith may bring us into suffering and trials, that itself is no indication that the Spirit has left us or somehow isn't working in or through us. Sometimes the Lord brings us into and empowers us and equips us for difficult times. I mean, what else would we expect? As Paul says in Ephesians 6, we are in a spiritual battle. We're in the middle of a spiritual battle, and there will be spiritual violence. And sometimes that takes place upon us Now we use the sword of the Spirit. We use prayer. We use these spiritual weapons. We don't take up the sword of the flesh in our evangelism. No, we take up the sword of the Word of God. But others may come against us with physical violence, like they did with Stephen, where because of our faithfulness, we may be opposed in these ways. And yet Stephen, even though he was opposed, we know Stephen was victorious. He went out with his face shining like an angel, one who had been with and who knew the living God. So Stephen was one who was empowered and equipped for this work. He stepped out in faith and was used by God. And this sometimes, as we see, may involve our suffering. Maybe like Daniel, we would be miraculously rescued. Maybe like Stephen, we wouldn't be. But in any case, it may involve our suffering. But that was no deterrent from Stephen, because he was a man who believed what he read in Scripture. He believed what he knew in Scripture. He believed in the Lord. And he had enough faith and enough trust in what he read to take a step even in the face of risk. And he believed things like this. And so let's ask this question. In our lives, are we stepping out in the faith? Do we have faith that's strong enough and deep enough that we're willing to step out in obedience to the Lord? So when we believe some of these things, and I'm going to read a list of things that Scripture teaches, when we believe these things, it helps us to then be able to act on them. When these are lodged in our heart, the overflow of such conviction and confidence in the Word of God is that we'll take steps out in action of obedience, and we'll find that we have the Spirit there to help us, like Stephen did. And so we see here in Scripture, and ask yourself, do you believe these things? That Christ is my all. And notice how this will make a difference for us to be willing to step out and risk for the Lord, where we're going to take risks, where we're stepping out into situations where we realize we're not in control of what might happen to us. Not that we're ever in full control, but we're stepping out in obedience. And I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm talking about being obedient of faith. And so, when we believe these things, it will empower us. It will give us the conviction and the confidence that will willingly step out in obedience and trust the Lord to provide and help and work through our lives. And so these things that are in Scripture, Christ is my all. Christ is my all. I have Christ and He's my all. So there's nothing that you can take away from me that really makes an eternal difference. Christ is my all. Because I have Him, there's nothing you can take. Even Stephen's life, Christ is my all. I am not my own, but belong to Jesus. Stephen understood his life was not his own. My life, your life, is not your own, but you belong to your Redeemer. You belong to your Creator. So once I believe that Christ is my all, and I believe that my life is not my own, but I belong to Jesus, notice how big of a difference when that lodges in your heart, it's going to make for you to be willing to give up things that might even involve suffering or difficulty for Christ. Because now you're being turned away from yourself, you're being turned to God and His glory, and you're willing to live for Him. This life is short. This life is a shadow. It's a passing shadow. It's like a blade of grass that sprouts and dies, like a flower that fades. Our lives are not that long. You might live 70 years. You might be dead tomorrow. You might live to 90. But in the scope of eternity, that's not that long. This life is short, but it's important. God has put us here on this earth for important purposes. And this life is a time for spiritual battle. We can expect that. In this life, there's spiritual battle in this life, and there's glory on the other side. So as I'm thinking about my life here, it's short, it's temporary. I can expect there's going to be spiritual warfare. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be difficulty. But the Lord wants to do important and eternally significant things through me as I share the gospel and point others to Jesus, the Savior. As I walk in faith, faith in the Word of God, and knowing that there's glory on the other side. And that lasts forever. So that puts things in perspective about what I do with my life now. Living now for God's glory matters eternally. So Jesus, talks about storing up treasures in heaven. that as we live for the sake of Christ and His kingdom, we're going to see things that happen by God's grace here on this earth that are going to have eternal import. And so having the perspective of that, that living now for God's glory matters eternally. Also, it's a joy to be used of God in this life. It's a real joy to be an instrument of God in this life, to affect others for the sake of Christ. My every moment I live fully seen before the face of God. So Psalm 139, that every moment I live is fully disclosed to God. My thoughts, my actions, everything. I live in a transparent house, so to speak, from the bottom of my soul to the externals. I live fully before the face of God, known before God. So that'll affect then how I spend the life that He's given me. The very same God who created this world, who spoke to Moses and who was with Stephen, is with me now. Have you thought about that? That in your life right now, as we sit here in worship, stand and sing, the very living God is present with us. And when you go about your life, in your daily life, the very same God that created the world, that was with Stephen, that was with Moses, if you're a believer in Christ, is with you. The very same living God is with you. That'll change how you are willing to risk in your life on faith in Christ. Also, I'll give an account for how I spend my life, how I spend my time, my talents, my treasures. In this short life that can have this eternal impact, I'm going to give an account before my Creator how I've spent what He has sovereignly given me in my life. The Holy Spirit will empower me as I live by faith. As I walk by faith, I can expect that it might not fit my expectations of what I might think it might look like, but I can expect that the Spirit will be my helper as I walk by faith. Christ is coming again soon. So are we living ready? Are we living waiting in anticipation? I'm also, and then the last thing I'll mention, I'm immortal until God's work for me in this age is completed. So Stephen knew that God's sovereign. God has plans and purposes for him. His days are numbered, and he's immortal. Nobody can touch him until God's plans and purposes for him in this life are done. And so, same for us, those of us who are in Christ, that until God is done with us, even if you're laid up in a hospital bed and you can't do anything but pray, that's powerful. That's a thing that God works through prayer, as we've talked about before in Scripture. That's one of the means that God works through in this world, and to not discount the power of prayer. And that if we're still alive in this world, in this age, we can be confident that the Lord is not done with us for His plans and purposes in this life, and that there's great joy in being used by Him. And so to live by faith in Christ, stepping out, understanding in this greater biblical perspective and eternal perspective about our lives, and to not get caught up in fear or apathy or self-absorption, but have our gaze lifted to the glory of God and the work of His kingdom. Stephen was such a man, and he believed these things deeply, and so there he was out ministering in here a risky situation, and here he was opposed by the people who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called. And then it lists areas that are Greek speaking. So here are Greek speaking Jews. Stephen, his name was Greek, so he's a Greek speaking Jew as well. He's being opposed by other Greek speaking Jews. Stephen, a believer in Christ, they not, and they oppose him. They come against him and then falsely accuse him. Now, point two on the notes is that we can expect that. So point one was empowerment is ours by the Spirit. Point two is that engagement for Christ brings opposition. That when we engage for Christ, when we walk by faith, there's going to be opposition. And those oppositions come from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to experience opposition as we fight against indwelling sin and the sinful gravity to want to remain in control and to not trust. We're going to fight that opposition. We're going to find opposition from the world and from the devil. And the devil working through people like these opposing Stephen and then that end up martyring him. Stephen faced opposition. When he stepped out for Christ, when he took this step to minister according to his gifts in obedience to Christ, because he believed deeply in God and the Word of God and the work of God, he stepped out and he experienced opposition. And we can expect that. Satan wants to dissuade us from stepping out in obedience to Christ. He wants to keep us from engaging. He wants to keep us in fear. He wants to keep us in apathy. He wants to keep us in a shallow state of faith that's sort of wrapped up in our own things and not willing to risk much for the kingdom of Christ. If Satan can keep the followers of Christ in this kind of a state, then he doesn't really need to bring that much opposition, because you're not really doing much for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. So Satan, when you do step out, though, it's like you've got a target on your back and Satan's going to come against you. You're going to experience opposition. And this is what Stephen and the early church experienced. And they experienced opposition in their faith. And here Stephen is an example of this. And so, like with Daniel, who experienced opposition, like with Stephen, who experienced opposition, we can expect to experience opposition. Another place where we see this, some opposition, and is if you flip over to Matthew chapter 14, and I was thinking about this passage when Peter walks on the water. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28-31. So talk about a situation that takes faith to step out onto the water. You're not in control. 28-31, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you," so remember Jesus is walking out on the water in the middle of a storm, and they're on a boat, and then they see him, and Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And then Peter says, verse 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. So he took the Lord at his word. He didn't let what you would think of from physics, that he's going to step into the water and drown. The creator of physics is telling him to come walk to him on the water. And he will walk. And Peter believes that. And he does. He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, so now he takes his gaze off of his eyes off of Jesus. He starts getting afraid from the wind, this opposition. He's in the middle of a storm and he lets the opposition get to him. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And so here we see Peter, empowerment. He steps out in faith. He's empowered to walk on water. He has the power to do this miraculous thing. And then he faces opposition. The doubts in his heart, the waves and the storm that's so powerful raging around him, and he lets those get to him, and then he begins to sink. And Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus was far stronger than all of that, was far more infinitely worthy of trust than all of those things. But Peter gave in to these opposing forces, these internal doubts and these winds and the storm, and he begins to sink. So we can expect that there's going to be opposition, but we can overcome it, like Peter, through continuing in faith. See, it was Peter's faith was slackening. And so he begins to sink. He takes his eyes off of Christ and he starts thinking to himself, "How can I walk on water?" Instead of realizing that he was actually in relationship with and serving the creator of the world. And that's how come he was able to walk on water, is because of Jesus. And that makes all the difference. And so how do we then deal with this opposition? Well, it's through faith. It's through continuing to trust in Christ, through persevering in faith, in prayer and opposition, in prayer when the opposition comes. It's that we continue in His Word, letting His Word dwell in us richly, and praying and taking in the Word of God and resting on it. There's a sentence, I think it's maybe a book. I remember a youth group that, I think I was an intern at the time, this phrase, it's either a book or something that a pastor had said that sort of caught fire in the youth group, and they were willing to step out and do risky things, things that were out of their comfort zone and that were difficult for the sake of Christ. And the phrase was this, taken from this passage, or Peter walking on the water: if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And so the boat being sort of our comfort zones, those areas where we don't really have, where we feel like we're in control. And if we step out of the boat to walk on water, we're taking a risk. It requires faith to a degree that maybe we don't need to have to kind of stay in the boat. But if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. God gives His Spirit for help and empowerment to those who, as we read in Galatians 3, hear by faith. Those who trust in Christ will have the resources of the Spirit for what He then calls us to. And so maybe here this morning, there's something that that there's some exercise of faith in your life that you're holding back, whether it's through fear or apathy or maybe you don't care as much as you should, or maybe you're too fixated on yourself rather than the glory of Christ and His kingdom purposes. Maybe you just haven't thought much about it, and the Lord's doing that in your heart this morning. Is there some exercise of faith that the Lord's calling you to, some way of expressing your deep trust in Him and the gifts that you have? So Stephen is here using his gifts. This isn't to say that we're all going to have the same kind of wisdom or work miracles in the way that Stephen did. Maybe so, but the gifts that the Lord has given us, and there's many gifts that the Spirit has given to His people, that we're willing to use those gifts. Those things that the Lord has sovereignly given to us in our careers and our training and our time and our treasures and resources, these things that God has sovereignly gifted us with, are we using them in faith for Christ and His kingdom? And there's great joy in doing so. And so engagement for Christ brings opposition. We can expect that, but we also have the resources in the Holy Spirit, through faith in Christ, for continuing in perseverance and prayer, the encouragement of the body of Christ to continue and not let the opposition sink us or weaken us. And then the third point, so Stephen went on through the opposition. He was opposed, and he stood trial in this mock trial, falsely accused. And Stephen stayed true, and as we'll see next week when we look at his sermon, how he still remained bold. You know, again, this is a situation like it was with Peter after Peter healed the lame man, where he would have been thinking just about 2 months before Jesus was in a situation like this, and his trial ended up with him going to the cross. Peter, thinking this might be my end in this life as well. Stephen, thinking, I'm sure, the same thing. This might be my end in this life as well. But he had hope, of course, and so his face was like that of an angel, and he had faith in Christ. And so the third point is that entrusting it all to God yields joy. And so there's Stephen. He's opposed. They're bringing false accusations about what Stephen is teaching. And then we read in verse 15, gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So you know, the angel had face like lightning. We read about one of the angels after Jesus was raised from the dead, and the disciples see, and there's an angel's face like lightning. This bright, pure, blinding lightning kind of face. One that radiated glory. And like Moses, we read in 2 Corinthians, Moses, when after he met with God on Sinai, came down and his face was glowing from having been in the presence of God. Here, even more, we see Stephen. His face was like the face of an angel. So there he sits. He doesn't have a guilty face. He knows he's not guilty of these accusations. He's got this face of an angel, one that has been in the presence of God, that is in the presence of God, one that radiates this peace, this joy, one that radiates that he knows he's on the Lord's side, There's this knowing I'm on the Lord's side, innocence that radiates from his face, one who knows Jesus as his Savior and forgiver, and so his face gives an appearance of it. You know, there's a kind of, now our faces may not glow lightning like this, but there are physical outward effects that when somebody is entrusting it all to God, like Stephen is here. Stephen's here, at least with deep faith, living out this deep faith in the midst of opposition. He has this calm, this joy, this radiant face. I don't know if you've been around some people who love the Lord. They're people of deep faith, and there's sort of a glow, so to speak, to them. There's a joy, that there's a sense of peace. They're walking in sync with the Lord, and there's a joy in that. Here Stephen is in the middle of this very trying, you know, he's about to be executed. He's on this trial with trumped up charges and people opposing him, people who have the power to kill him, and yet he radiates with the face of an angel because he knows the God who's more powerful, who's sovereign, who has Stephen in his hand. And so Stephen has entrusted his very self to God, and there's this joy that comes through even in this deep trial, this time of potential, and as we will see, a life-threatening situation. Stephen, who is full of grace, his graciousness, his joy, his peace, exuded from him, and in his case there was even this radiance like lightning, the face of an angel. And so for us, knowing God, his sovereignty, his love, his grace, his wisdom, knowing that we're his children, that we're justified through faith in Christ, that Christ has come and won the victory on the cross. He's paid for our sins. He's alive. He rose from the dead, and he's alive. That his Spirit is with us. That as he said to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I will be with you to the end of the age. That he sent his Spirit to indwell us, and he's reigning at the right hand of God the Father. He's going to return, and we know all these things, and we trust them deeply. They're not just words that bounce off our ears, but we hear with faith, and so then we walk in that faith, and we have the power of the Spirit poured out in our lives. That knowing these things, having these things through faith in Christ, yields joy, yields peace, a kind of radiance from our souls, which has an outward effect. Even if we've been through the ringer of a night, we're sorrowful because maybe somebody close to us has died. We're grieving, and yet we have hope, and we still have joy. And this joy comes from Christ, who is our all, who is our treasure, from being children of God and having a eternal and secure hope, and knowing that should we be killed in this life, we're going to rise and live in a new heavens and new earth, raised with Christ forever. And knowing, trusting in God about these things yields a kind of joy, that there's a kind of outward effect that this has and radiates. And so we see this with Stephen. Stephen here, a model of somebody who's full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and somebody who's ordinary, a man. This is somebody who any believer can be full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and that trusting Christ is given to all of us who are his. And so for thus then the application that I want to leave you with, besides what the Lord's been doing in your heart all through, is that is for all of us to have enough faith to step out with our gifts, with our abilities, with what God has given us, to have enough faith to step out with our lives for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. and experience in that the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy of being used of God, even in and actually even expecting that we're going to have opposition, even in opposition, to step out in faith. To step out and have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it may be something that the Lord's putting on your heart. Maybe it's a conversation that you've avoided. Maybe somebody that you have to share the Lord with. Maybe it's somebody to invite to church, invite over for a meal. Maybe it's something that you know that you need to do, that you should do, but you're not because of fear. Just this week, I ended up repenting to somebody. I'd a friend of mine from back home. I had told a lie to. The Lord convicted me of it, and I called him up and confessed to him about that. You know, I'm forgiven in the Lord, but I wanted to come clean to him as well. And so I knew that's something that I needed to do. That we trust God, that we step out in faith, that we're willing to risk and we're willing to step out of our comfort zone to do things that matter for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. I'm going to close with a illustration or a story that happened. Hudson Taylor. So speaking of going out of our comfort zone and having our eyes lifted up to Christ and His kingdom and being willing to make sacrifices and this sort of thing. And this can apply to many different areas of life. But Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. And he was one time at a large gathering of English and Scottish church leaders. I'm reading here. He told a story which powerfully moved his audience. "Once when I was sailing on a Chinese ship," Taylor told them, "a young Chinese man fell overboard in shallow, muddy water. I leapt overboard in the hope of finding him. Unsuccessful, I looked around in agonizing suspense and saw close to me a fishing boat with a dragnet furnished with hooks, which I knew would bring him up. 'Come and drag this spot quickly. A man is drowning here,' I called. 'It is not convenient,' they said. 'Don't talk of convenience. A man is drowning, I tell you. We are busy fishing and cannot come.' 'Never mind your fishing,' I said. 'I will give you more money than a day's fishing will bring. Only come now.' 'How much money will you give us?' they asked. 'We cannot stay to discuss that now. Come or it will be too late. I will give you $5. "We won't do it for that," replied the men. "Give us $20 and we will drag for him." "I don't have that much money, but do come quickly and I will give you all that I have." "How much is that?" they asked. "I don't know exactly, about $14. At last the boat was paddled slowly over and the net let down. In less than a minute, the body of the missing man was brought up. The fishermen angrily demanded their money while I worked to get him breathing again. But all was in vain. His life was gone. Although no one in the audience spoke, Taylor could see in their strained faces a righteous anger over the cold indifference of the fishermen. Then Taylor continued, "We condemn those heathen fishermen. We say they were guilty of the man's death because they could have saved him and did not. But what of the millions whom we leave to perish eternally? What of the plain command, 'Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature'?" After the service, many rushed forward to pledge financial support. Soon, 7 men and women joined Hudson Taylor and his wife Maria, and the China Inland Mission was born. So there we have a story about people who, because of their didn't care about this drowning man, and so they weren't concerned with those things. But as we're concerned with the things of the Lord's Word, as we're concerned with what He tells us in His Word, and as we are concerned with Christ and His kingdom and all of that, then let that so motivate us to walk in faith, live in obedience, even if it means being uncomfortable or inconvenient, because we know that there's greater things to live for, and ultimately the greatest is God and His glory. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how You filled Stephen with faith in Your Spirit and how he serves as an example for all of us, that we who trust in Christ have the same resources in terms of Your Holy Spirit and the faith that You have given in our hearts. Pray that we would deeply believe the things of Scripture, that Your Word would so dominate our way of thinking and our way of living and our way of loving, that we would simply have fruit born out of that faith of stepping out and seeing You empower us and help us as we, and in ways that seems so simple and ordinary may go unnoticed, but we know that You're there giving us the power and the strength to walk in obedience. And as we face oppositions and difficulties and trials in our life that would try to dissuade us from holding dear to and deeply confident in the things of Your Word, that we would remain steadfast, that we would be people of prayer and faith and obedience, and that You would use us, ordinary people, people who apart from Your grace would have no hope in this world, but that You would use us for the sake of Christ and His kingdom, and that we might know the joy of being used by You, and so that our lives then, walking in sync with You by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit, might give off a peace and a joy, even in the most tragic and difficult of times and situations, because we know You, and we have hope, and we have the joy that comes through faith in Your Son. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.